There's so many familiar faces around here. I want to thank the Brownings. We've known each other for a long time, long time. We were all missionaries together over in Eurasia and had a nice evening at their home, and just good to be with you. Thank you for being great hosts. And again, just good to be together in the house of the Lord today and to get to worship God together. Today, I just want to talk to us for a little bit about what it means to be on mission with Jesus. And I bring that to you in a very personal kind of way because I'm going to drag you around with me on some of the things that I've learned that I do as a general superintendent, which to me is kind of fun, getting to be on mission with Jesus. Now, the next slide shows you the mission statement of the Church of the Nazarene is to make Christ-like disciples in the nations. So that's part of our mission, right? We are out there to make Christ-like disciples. And the thing about this mission statement that is so awesome is that it relates to you here in your local church. You are making Christ-like disciples here in the city of Anderson. And I love seeing what you're doing and the way you're reaching out and the way that you are impacting your community. To make Christ-like disciples in the nations means this neighborhood, this nation, and all the nations of the world. So that is our mission as the Church of the Nazarene. Now, Jesus, of course, we get our commissioning from him, where Jesus talks to us in Matthew 28, and I'm going to use a different translation here. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, let me just stop there just a second. I want you to think about our world today and all that we are facing. And the foundational thing that we need to remember is that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So no matter what is going on, we serve the Lord who has authority ultimately over all things. And the one who has that authority has commissioned you and he has commissioned me. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." So today, I'm going to take you with me on this mission. The next slide is a picture of all of the Board of General Superintendents and their spouses. And I just want to say, I feel so honored, so privileged to be able to serve with this group of people. They're in a great team. We're from all over the world. And God is just kind of knitting us together in a really wonderful way to get to serve. Tomorrow morning, we start what we call BGS week. It's our board meeting. We begin at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. And I'll be together with this group this week. And it'll be great to be together. But you know, soon after I was elected, I had the territory of Southern Nazarene University, which is Texas and Oklahoma, Louisiana, Arkansas. And right about then, a hurricane hit. And so to be on mission with Jesus means we go to find out where our people are hurting. And so we went down to Houston area, and here we are with Nazarene Disaster Response, and that is the NEI Nazarene Disaster Response Team that came all the way down to Houston. And having lived up in Fort Wayne, I came and joined the NEI team. And I thought that would be really fun, and we began working and mucking out houses and spending time together. And if you've been on those teams, what a great ministry that is in times of disaster. That same weekend, I went over to the Orange Church of the Nazarene, the next slide, and when I got there, you can see the church bus, but that church had been affected by the floodwaters over 6 feet deep in the church, and they had had to muck everything out. And here was all the stuff of the church, some of the stuff we think is important to us, and it was all over the parking lot. And I wondered how those people were doing and what did it mean to be on mission with Jesus when your church had been flooded out. And I came around the corner and I found the congregation out behind the church, and there they were. They'd all shown up on that Sunday morning and they had brought their lawn chairs and they were under the tree praising and worshiping Jesus, because that's what it means to be on mission with Jesus. My first 2 years of jurisdiction overseas was for the region of Africa. So I jumped on over to Africa, and there I had the privilege of installing a new regional director, Dr. Daniel Gomes and his wife Anna Lee. The regional director who'd been there was Dr. Philemon Chambo, and he had been elected general superintendent right before me, so we had to have a new regional director. So the regional director, this new one, Dr. Gomes, he's from Senegal, and we had this privilege of both of us trying to figure out our jobs together at the same time. But what a great leader we have. The next is a picture of a pastor and his wife from down in South Africa. This is Solomon Ludlovo and his wife. Solomon is now our new field strategy coordinator for the entire southern region, but at that time he was the pastor of the Tulumahashi Church of the Nazarene, which ran over 1,000 on Sunday mornings. Incredible place where God is working. His wife is a chaplain, ordained elder in the police system that's there. From South Africa, I traveled over to Eswatini, formerly known as Swaziland. And in Eswatini, we now have a university, Southern Africa Nazarene University. SANU is what we call it. And Dr. Lauren Gresham from Southern Nazarene University is actually the chancellor. And then we have a vice chancellor, which is more like the principal or the president that runs it. It's kind of confusing how they give those names to them. But he has to come for graduation. So we went to the graduation where he was responsible to bless every single student that came across the platform. But we have an incredible university that's there. And the next picture there is with Dr. Winnie. She's actually who we would call the president of the place. And then I'm standing with Lauren Gresham. And then that was the field strategy coordinator at the time, was a man by the name of Mashangu Malaleka. Now, during my first trip over to South Africa, they kind of assigned Mashangu to take care of me because we were just getting the new regional director. And I only had that about 5 weeks to travel with Mashangu. But I just want to say that during those 5 weeks, that man shaped me in many ways about learning about Africa, about learning about what had happened there in the past, and how by the grace of God, somebody could take someone and transform them so beautifully. The next picture is the next day. He wanted to take me up to Pig's Peak. If you've ever heard of Pig's Peak, it's where Harman Schmelzenbaugh and his wife came. And you may not know who that is, but in Nazarene history, Harman Schmelzenbaugh was this man who traveled by boat and then by covered wagon and went all the way up to these mountains, this area called Pig's Peak, and he planted the very first ministry of the Church of the Nazarene in the continent of Africa. And he wanted me to see where this place was. And this is close to the year 1900 that they went up there. But you know, while we're traveling through Swaziland that day, or Eswatini as it's called now, Mashangu looks over at me and he says, "You know that 20 years ago, I would have been put in prison for being in a car with you." He said, "A black man could never have been in the car with a white woman." And he said, "God has done so much." But he began to tell me what apartheid had been like. He had grown up in South Africa. And you know, folks, even in the Church of the Nazarene, we had a white Bible college, and we had a black Bible college, and we had a colored Bible college, and we had an Indian Bible college, because that's what the government required. And that was not that long ago. And so I listened to my brother, who had even suffered at the hands of the church. And there was a point in time that people would have thought that Mashangu was a little bit of a militant man. But he certainly wasn't during those weeks that we traveled. I've never met anybody that loved Jesus so much and that had allowed the love of Jesus to take his wounds and transform them into something entirely different. So we kept on driving, and we made it up to Pig's Peak, and that is where the original Nazarene compound was in Africa. It's a beautiful place. As we walked around, you can see behind, it was hard to take a picture of this, but it's the tombstone of Harman Schmelzenbaugh. He died there in 1929, and not only is Harman buried there, but a couple of his babies are buried there too. You see, he came and he gave his life for the African continent. He gave his life so that people could know Jesus. He believed the Great Commission that much that he gave up his life. He let his babies be buried there. The next picture is Mashangu and I standing in front of the original chapel that Harman Schmelzenbaugh built. We're told that he spent hours and hours and hours in that chapel in prayer. And Lord, sometimes I say, how many of us are willing to give of ourselves that much for people to come to know Jesus? Do we sacrificially give of ourselves in prayer so that a continent would get to know who Jesus is? I don't know if we do. Well, we got to come back down from Pig's Peak, and I had my very first ordination service ever. And it was in Swaziland. And I think that's pretty cool. And this is my very first group of people that I ordained in the Church of the Nazarene. And that's awfully fun, because that's part of being on mission with God. For you see, when we're making disciples means that people are also being called into the ministry, and they're going to go out and they're going to make disciples who are going to make disciples who are going to make disciples. From there, I got to travel on up to Nairobi, to Kenya. And there we have another Nazarene University, Africa Nazarene University, not to be confused with South Africa Nazarene University. And in Nairobi, we've got a university of about 3,000 students, and this is our the woman that was basically the president of it for so many years. She's not anymore, but she's just this amazing woman. And we got to visit together, and I got to learn from her. The next day, we went and saw the university itself. I don't know if how many of you ever been there? You've been there. That plaza right there on all of those stones are written the names of all the work and witness teams that have helped to build that university. That university has been built by Nazarenes from around the world who traveled to Nairobi to help to build this place to have an impact on the African continent. The next picture, we were having graduation, and the graduation ceremony was so large that it had to be out on the soccer field, and they put up all these tents, and this is all of us marching in, and it was an incredible ceremony. Part of the celebration there was, the next picture, we honored Dr. Philemon Chambo, who had been chairman of the board before he had been elected a general superintendent, and they were so grateful for his impact, which has been huge upon Africa. Then I went back down to South Africa again. And I was in Johannesburg, and they said, I want to take you to Soweto. Soweto is the township where the Mandelas had lived. It's where Bishop Desmond Tutu was. It's where so much of the tension was around apartheid. I went to the apartheid museum that was there. I went to Mandela's home. But not only that, I went to the Church of the Nazarene. That's a Nazarene church in Soweto, in the township. We have over 20 of them in that community. And let me just say, God is working in and through and making disciples in some of the most difficult places that we might find in this world. The next picture takes me to a district assembly, and now we were joined by Mashangu's wife, whose name is Remember, and my husband, Chuck. And they came with us to this district assembly, and Mashangu looks over at me, and he said, now we're going to have them help us today. And I said, what are they going to have to do? And he said, sometimes people cheat on the ballots. Now, wouldn't we hate to think about that? And he said, I have brought pre-printed ballots with me in different colors that have the seal of the Church of the Nazarene on them, so nobody can slip in a white piece of paper. And he said, and then we're going to send our spouses to go oversee all of the elections. Now, we had not warned them in advance, and they weren't real happy with us at the end of the day. But that's when they were looking happier at the beginning of the day, before we sent them over to oversee the elections. Next, we made our way up to Zimbabwe, and what an incredible time we had there. And this was just a fun picture, because God is raising up women all over Africa to be engaged in ministry. The woman holding kind of the pink portfolio was the district superintendent, Sipokile Nione, and then the rest of them are all women pastors, and we just kind of had this women's leadership picture. It was just fun. Then in January, I made my way over to the Democratic Republic of Congo, and there hadn't been a general superintendent there in 8 years. And interestingly, when they began the work in the DRC, they had told the then regional director, Dr. Chambo, they had said, you know, we can't have women ministers in Congo because the culture just won't allow it. And Dr. Chambo said, I'm sorry, he said, but if you don't have women preachers, you don't have the Church of the Nazarene. He said, that's who we are. That's a part of our DNA. And so that day, we had this ordination service. They hadn't had one in many, many years, and we ordained 3 women as well as 12 men. So it was a great day, and we celebrated in the DRC. The next picture, we actually met with some government officials that were there. And the impact of the Church of the Nazarene in that part of the world is significant because the church reaches out to make disciples in many different ways. And we discovered that the leader of that area was a graduate of one of our schools, because the next morning I went to visit the Nazarene Institute, named in the honor of Richard Zahner. And this is the school, 700 children gathered together at the Nazarene school that morning. And we just had a great time together with the kids. From there, I went to the Nazarene Medical Center in the city of Goma. And here's this little Nazarene Medical Center. Let me just tell you, if you ever wanted to help a place, this place could use your help. They don't have much in there, but they're doing everything they can to help their community in this time of need. So there I am in the DRC, and my phone rings at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I get a call from Beth down in South Africa, and she said, "Mashangu just died." I was absolutely stunned. And I made my way back to South Africa for Mashangu's funeral. That man who had such an impact on me in such a short period of time. And this was on the bulletin from his service. He said, "Just a Shangaan boy saved by grace." One of the things I learned about Africa is that we might try to divide up the continents by nations or by colonial languages, but there are tribal groups that go way past those. And the Shangaan people are in Mozambique, and they are in Swaziland, and they're in South Africa. Dr. Philomau Shambo is a Shangaan. Mashangu was a Shangaan. They're known as a people of peace. He also said, "If our children and those that come after us can complain about the same things we did, then we have not lived." I want you to think about that a minute. If our children and those that come after us can complain about the same things we did, then we have not lived. He believed that it was the responsibility as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus Christ, to make this world a better place. A life well lived is a life lived for others. He certainly demonstrated that. And then, this is a great phrase in Shangaan, "Be a man of one wife." And he preached that everywhere he went. And let me just tell you, it was of great significance. In that culture, it was of great significance for a man to stand up and say, "Men, be faithful to your wife. Have one wife. Do not cheat on her, be loyal to her, and raise up a good family." Well, from there, I hopped on a plane right that night, and I had to go to Mozambique. And the next morning, I met there with our field strategy coordinator for the Portuguese-speaking world, and with this sweet little lady. This sweet little lady, her name is Betsy Tsembe, which is the Shangaan word that the Portuguese translated into Shambo. This is Dr. Philomau Shambo's mother. And she is known as the Lioness of Africa. This woman is absolutely incredible, and in a moment you're going to see why. But there at that Maputo Central Church of the Nazarene, I was ordaining all of these elders. Why is that significant? Because Betsy Shambo has been the pastor. She's now retired, but she was the pastor of the Maputo Central Church of the Nazarene for years. I just want you to see this next picture, for you see, Maputo Central is the largest church of the Nazarene in all of Africa, and this is the church that she pastored. And at one point, it reached about 3,000 people, and she thought, too many people are coming to this church, so she planted 29 more churches. And now you wonder why Dr. Shambo walks into the Democratic Republic of Congo, and they say, "We can't have women preachers." And he says, "What are you talking about?" And we were there for ordination, ordained the elders that were there, an incredible time and a move of the Spirit of God. You know what, folks? Sometimes it's just really fun making Christ-like disciples in the nations. I'm telling you. Every now and then they give us a day off. So the next day we went to Kruger National Park and got to drive through the park, took a few pictures of the animals along the way. That was a lot of fun. Finally, I was joined by our new regional director, and I have to chuckle. He's from West Africa. He likes really, really strong coffee. So in the morning he said, "I want a double espresso." And they weren't sure what that meant, so they brought him 2 cups of coffee for his double espresso. The next day, we went to another district assembly. Now he's traveling with me because Mashangu had passed away. And the lady here is the district superintendent. She's wearing a banner that says district superintendent. I took this picture on purpose because my husband wasn't there that day. I wanted him to see how nice it was when the DS's spouse dressed to match the wife. He doesn't think that's all that funny, but, you know. Just another morning, waking up there in South Africa. The monkeys were waking me up. You can see all the little monkeys running around. They were running all over the roof of where I was staying. Eventually, I made it up to West Africa. And Dr. Gomes took me out to a place called Gore Island. And Gore Island is the place where the slaves were taken. The people were taken who were gathered to be sold as slaves from West Africa. Many of them were taken to this island, and the entire island was a prison. And they held people in shackles in this place, getting them ready to be sold to go all over the world. And this door that I'm standing in was called the door of no return. For once you went out that door, you were taken to a boat. And you might have been taken to Africa, Europe or the Middle East or to North America, the Caribbean or South America. You didn't know. And they took family members, and one child would be sent here and another sent there, a mom sent there and dad sent there, and you would never, ever see each other ever again. This was the door of no return. I just have to tell you, Africa opened my eyes to a lot of things. A lot of things that help you even understand America in some ways. When we go to make Christ-like disciples in the nations, we join with brothers and sisters and we learn and we listen to each other's stories. So then I met with my friends from Nigeria. And this was so much fun. These guys were telling me about their dreams for Nigeria and what they believe God wants to do there. These are our leaders that are there. But you see, at the end of World War II, there was a man from Nigeria that was in Burma. And he met a Nazarene chaplain. And the Nazarene chaplain had a tract about coming to Jesus Christ. This guy gave his life to Jesus Christ. He goes back home to Nigeria with a tract on how to be a Christian, and the guy gave him a Nazarene manual. Those two things, goes back to Nigeria, that's it. And has no contact with the Church of the Nazarene until 1988. In the meantime, he plants an indigenous Nazarene church in Nigeria. They just start the Church of the Nazarene on their own, and then they eventually merged with us. So today, we have this group of people in Nigeria who are ready to take the church to the next level. They shared with me their dream for 1 million people to come to Jesus in Nigeria. Are you ready? They're making Christ-like disciples in the nations. This next picture is very, very significant for us today. Because this picture isn't in Africa, but this was in the summer. I got to go up to Russia. And that's where my husband and I served for 13 years. My husband has his arm around Pasha. Pasha was a young man who gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ in one of our drug and alcohol rehab centers in Ukraine. To the left of me is Olga. Olga is a little girl who started attending the Nazarene Church in St. Petersburg, Russia when she was 13. She started going to our teen camps. The two of them met at our youth center where they were studying to become ministers, both of them in the Church of the Nazarene. Now, I don't know if you caught that. They're married. They pastor the Nazarene Church in St. Petersburg. Pasha is Ukrainian, and Olga is Russian. 2 weeks ago, I was on a call with 50 of our leaders in the former Soviet Union. And you see, we've all been one big family and one big field for 30 years. And today, down the heart of Russia and Ukraine, there's a military threatening to blast both sides. If I could ask you, please, to pray today. As your pastor was praying today, I don't know, I had this vision in my mind of angels fighting that battle in the heavenly realms, because I'm telling you, on the earthly realm, I don't even know how to pray. There's so much that I don't even understand. And folks, I believe, you know, I think about Daniel who prayed and he thought, you know, why did it take so long for you to get here? It's like, because I had to fight these battles. Somehow I think there's some kind of a royal battle happening in the heavenlies. And let's just pray into that, that God takes care of things, because we're going to really mess this up as people. And if you think about it, think about Olga and Pasha and their children. Real people stuck in the middle of this. Well, I got one more place to take you with me. Actually, I've got two on my slides. I'll go real quick. This is South Sudan. I was in Ethiopia. Had the privilege of going to where there's a refugee camp, but this is on the Nazarene camp territory. This is Sunday school, Sunday morning with the kids. They hadn't had a general superintendent in 8 or 11 years. The next picture, they were going to have ordinations. We had 22 people. I was supposed to have had 24, but two couldn't get past the roadblocks. They're all excited, ready for ordination. Then I ordain them, and I've never seen anything like this, but they're all dancing and singing and rejoicing. We need to have that happen at our district assemblies, don't we? They're dancing with their ordination certificates. It was just a great day. Then I made my way over to Guinea-Bissau. Guinea-Bissau is over on the west coast, and there we have these missionaries. They're in the back of this boat, Mario and Irme, and they want to take us to show us one of their new works, which is out on an island. And they said, we go out here all the time. We've rented this boat for the day. So we all get on our little life jackets, and we head out across the Atlantic Ocean. And it was a little bit of an adventure. It took us an hour and a half to get to the island. The next picture, we arrive at the island, and they're greeting us with this big banner, Welcome, Church of the Nazarene. They're singing songs. We climb out of the boat through the water, get up there, and we're ready to have baptism. We baptize 18 young people right there. In the water, we had an incredible time, brand new work. Then the kids said, would you come with us back to our village? So we walked back to their village about 15 minutes, got to their village, and there in the middle of their village, these young people declared their faith in Jesus Christ. You can see all the little kids that were listening. We have a kindergarten in this village because we're reaching out and ministering to the kids in the neighborhood and trying to meet them at the point of their needs. So these kids are listening in. What we didn't realize was that in the background that the witch doctors were watching us and were pretty unhappy with what was happening that day. We got back in our boat. They told us we had to get going because there were only so many hours to get us back. As we started our travels back, the waters became incredibly rough. And Mario and Irme said, this has never happened to us before. And it wasn't stormy out and there weren't any wind. We just suddenly had huge waves. And the waves were much larger than our little ship, and the waves were larger, and they were sweeping over, and we were all getting drenched by the water. My husband thought he was really funny. He was humming the tune to Gilligan's Island. But after an hour and a half and no land in sight, we got pretty quiet. I know I spent a lot of time in prayer, and I wasn't praying, God save me. I don't know. Somehow I had peace, and I just was praying for everybody in the world I knew. I just was like, okay, I'll spend time praying out here in the water. But finally, I did say, Lord, it'd be really good if we could get in before sundown. And that's my picture when we finally saw land. 3 hours later, just before sundown, we climbed out of the boat, and I don't know if you can tell, but we are all drenched. And we're standing there, and one of the gentlemen, the one in the striped shirt, bless his heart, he looked over and he said, I was so glad there was a general superintendent in the boat with us today. And I thought, yeah, buddy, if you knew what she was thinking. But really, I just want you to know what a privilege it is to be on mission with Jesus. And you all are invited into that mission. Let me just tell you a little bit about where we are. When Harmon Schmelzenbaugh went to Africa many, many years ago, there weren't very many Nazarene churches in the whole world. Today we've got 31,000. That's pretty amazing. Today we've got 2.6 million members around the world, but I want you to look at that. Africa, the next slide. Africa has nearly 800,000. It has the most members of any region in the world. So I want you to put that in perspective, and if those guys in Nigeria actually end up with 1 million members, look out, Africa's on the rise. You can see our membership rise through the years. God has been good to us, folks. our missionaries. We have 531 missionaries with 302 missionary kids. And one of the things that's very different these days, it's the next slide, but our missionaries are from 64 different countries. That Mario and Irma that were in the boat with us, one of them's from Argentina and the other one's from Uruguay. They're not all from America. They're doing an incredible job. They're in 96 countries. We've got 16 volunteers, 57 new missionary deployments. But you know what we learned through this pandemic is that we are so much better together. We are challenged to be together as one. And this is the New Africa Region logo and slogan all together. It's a slogan. Together as one. Tuko pamoja. Just one little thing about that. During the pandemic, you all, through Nazarene Compassionate Ministries, we were able to deploy immediately. We gave out $1.7 million, the next slide, to 192 projects, to 450,000 people in 88 countries, and that doesn't include all the Nazarene Compassionate Ministry things you did in your local churches. And let me just tell you, this whole Better Together thing, this Church of the Nazarene thing, I know we've got all kinds of organizations out there, and they're raising money, and they want to get you involved with them, but let me just give you a little bit of their secret. They don't have the on-the-ground network. So, for example, you do Samaritan's Purse, and you do those Christmas boxes. Who do you think they give them to? Us. Over in Russia, we received all those Christmas boxes, and we were the churches that distributed them. You see, they don't have churches. They don't have the on-the-ground network. That's what you're giving to. All those other organizations have to come to people like us and say, okay, can you distribute the stuff that we raised money for? And you can do it directly through what you do through the Church of the Nazarene. Folks, it's an amazing, well-kept secret. But God is very, very good. Well, it's been fun to share with you this morning of what it's like to get to be on mission with Jesus. I feel so honored to be doing this job, to be able to represent you in the church, to minister to people like this lady whose husband died, and we took care of her throughout the pandemic. She received food. She just wept when the church ministered to her. I'm not going to show any more of the slides, but God is just so good. And I am grateful that I had the chance to come and share with you today what it means for us to go and to make Christ-like disciples in the nations. And today you're going to be challenged to be a part of Faith Promise of your church. And let me just tell you, this is the story, this is your story. The things that I've shown you today, that's only a glimpse of what is happening through the church around the world. And you get to be a part of it. It's amazing. From my heart, I just want to say thank you. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this church family today. Thank you for the privilege to share with them. And I pray you just pour out your spirit and your blessings upon them as they make Christ-like disciples here in their neighborhood in Anderson, Indiana. I pray you would help us to link arms because Tuko Pamoja really works together as one. And we can help impact our world for you. And we'll give you praise. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Sundberg, for your incredible word and challenge. We are so thankful for your leadership and example. Today, as everyone knows, is Faith Promise Sunday, a Sunday that we say yes to sacrifice for the case of Christ's mission being spread around the world. AFC has always been faithful in giving to Faith Promise. Many missionaries have been supported through your Faith Promise commitments. Yes, this is a gift that is above your tithes and goes directly toward the World Evangelism Fund, which supports the work of the Church of the Nazarene around the world. At AFC, we also support the Nazarene Church in Iraq, the Ketchums in France, and Abbey Cabello with Freedom Missions and much more. So, how do you make your pledge? You can take the insert that can be found in the bulletin titled Faith Promise and attach the pledge card and place it in one of the boxes as you exit the sanctuary. Or you can go online and make your pledge to the link found in your Sunday email on the website, app, or below. You can make a one-time gift, a reoccurring gift, a monthly, weekly, bi-monthly gift, however you feel led. This gift impacts the worldwide efforts of the church in spreading the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Pray and allow God to challenge you in this area. If you have any questions, feel free to ask any of your staff, your missions council, Linda Ellis, our incredible missions president, ask any of them. Again, thank you for being a long-standing, generous church. You are greatly appreciated and loved.
Thank you. I'm going to try to say this without crying, but wasn't that an incredible message and testimony of what the church that you're a part of is doing? And so, Dr. Sundberg, thank you for your mission. I know it's a sacrifice. As we were sitting there just thinking about the hours spent away from your family, and we get to be with our family and serve in this way. So I'd encourage you, step out in faith with this faith promise this year. There is a work happening around the world that we want to be a part of and that you're a part of. If you're new with us, and we have a lot of new families with us, I hope this was a good introduction and help you understand beyond membership class what Faith Promise is and what it's doing around the world. So guess what's next? Sunday school. Yes, you all better be there. I'm just kidding. But I hope you're there. Yes, and thank you so much for being here again. Would you just give a welcome to Dr. Sundberg, and thanks. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. We're so proud of you.